Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity to get together with my brothers and sisters all across the land, all across the world, on one side of the world to the other. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that your gifts are going to be in operation tonight. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah, Lord. This day is coming that we're you're putting people into the corner to make a decision. Are you going to go with me or are you going to go with the world and the flesh? Because you want a dedicated soul in the bride. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you that you're getting us all ready for that, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you have already prepared us. And we're walking in that right side, in that narrow road. And we just praise you for it, Father, because we're looking in the mirror and we're seeing Jesus. Every day we're looking in the mirror and seeing Jesus and walking it out, Lord, with that tender loving care that you've given us, that you've placed in our heart. You've given us your heart. And that's awesome. That is so awesome. And Lord, you've also backed up everything you said in your word, your promises and everything with your power. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. Because we know that when we pray, we have an open heaven. Praise God. And that prayers are answered. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Be with us tonight, Lord. Lead us, guide us into the things that you'd have us to speak about, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Okay. Prayer requests. Anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Geneva, Isaac, Mariana, Barbara, Andrew, Sunil, and Greg. Not the last, but the least. No. Praise God. All right. Any Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, Geneva, go ahead.
I had something I wanted to bring up. And I talked to Isaac and Marianne about this. And I also just wanted faith with you guys too. But so me and Morgan, for my birthday this week, we wanted to go to Cincinnati. And then we were going to go to Owensboro, Kentucky, where we're from, and see his family. And so we already bought the flights and everything. And I've been really excited to go because I've just kind of been missing family and stuff and wanted to see everybody. But his brother has COVID, and he has been going around the whole family. And so his mom and dad, they were like, yeah, come on over. We're not scared of no COVID. But, you know, they're not Christians or anything. They just are very much so. I don't know what's the word I'm trying to look for. They're just, you know, they're not liberal by no means or anything of that sort. But anyways, they're not Christian, though. And so they told him to go and come over. And so the whole family has been hanging out, and his brother Ethan's been coughing up a lung and just like, he's just talking about how sick he is. And like, he'll call Morgan and talk to him. And like, they just went over there for dinner, and we're supposed to be going there Thursday or Friday. And I'm kind of like, I'm battling my faith kind of, because I'm like, you know, I know what me and Morgan had went through that one time, and I know that I was in sin, that the Lord had to show me in my heart, and he, you know, delivered us from it. But it was definitely a trial, you know. And I guess right now I'm like, Lord, like, I know Morgan's been telling me, he's like, you know, Gene, we have God's vaccine, so it can't hurt us. And I'm like, I believe that too. You know, I know that we have God's protection and stuff. And I still get tested weekly at work, which I hate. And I believe the prayer that we pray that, you know, nothing in that, like, it's all neutralized, whatever. But just like with me being pregnant and stuff right now, it's kind of like, I feel like I've been trying really hard to be as healthy as possible and stuff. And I guess also got to think it's not by my works, it's by the Lord's. But it's just one of those things where I'm like, man, the whole family's just been But then I'm like, Lord, like I feel wrong for having those thoughts, like what the world says. And I remember hearing David on a podcast one time saying that, was it measles or mumps? I don't know, something that some family had. And he said, go and bring them over. We don't care. He's like, we're not going to get it in Jesus' name. And so Morgan was like, well, should we cancel or should we still go? And I'm like, well, I've been looking forward to this. Like, I really want to go, but I'm just kind of stuck in this. I don't know. I guess my question is, what do you all think? What's your all's advice?
My advice is to go with your faith. Wherever your faith is, Geneva, that's where you go. If you're stumbling in your faith, don't go. But if you know that, here's a way I would look at it myself, okay? I'm not telling you to do this, okay? I would be looking forward to praying for them people for their healing. That's what I would be doing. I said, I'm coming over there, but I'm going to pray for y'all that healing occurs. And are these Christians you're going to?
No, none of them are Christian at all.
Oh,
Well,
really?
yeah, one of Morgan's brothers, it's a hard situation there. He claims to be, but he's very much so like judgmental. He's a very judgmental Christian and very just he's pretty far from the truth, but he'll condemn you within a second. And so he's the only one in the family that like does talk about God, but everybody else, like he's made everybody so like, gosh, like get away from me that none of them have anything to do with it, not really.
Well, then that's a question for the Lord. You ask the Lord whether He wants you to go or not. Whatever He says, do it. And don't worry. If He says go, don't worry about it because He's got you there for a reason. But if He tells you not to go, don't go. He knows your situation. I'll let somebody else talk, but that's what I would do. Yes, Barry.
Well, Michael's right. The spirit is really, you have to trust the spirit, have faith that things are going to work out. Number two, didn't you and Morgan get COVID?
Yeah, well, that so back then we've never really claimed that we have it because we believe like we didn't claim it then, so we don't want to claim it now. So I just say like sickness, infirmity. Like I don't know, that might sound silly, but I just don't want to believe in that curse, But like I said, I know I was in sin at the time, but the Lord had to show me before, he healed me. And when he did, it was a very quick recovery.
My point is that if you had COVID, you have immunity to all the variants that probably don't even exist. I just dream this stuff up to make people nervous and anxious and to keep things stirred up when it's really not a big deal at all. So if you've had it, and if you lost your sense of smell and your sense of taste, that's a pretty good indicator of what you had. So you don't have anything to worry about. You've got immunity, and you've got God's vaccine, so you're covered.
Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's what my husband was saying too. He was saying, we got God's vaccine. He's like, and then if you want to look at it in the worldly view, he's like, we can't, he's like, we have the antibodies or whatever. So.
Well, you're covered medically and you're also covered spiritually.
Amen. Do you all mind to say a prayer though, just for my faith? Because whenever the time comes and I have this labor and natural in Jesus' name. I feel like if I'm struggling like this much with something like this, like Lord, like I want my faith to be strong for when that time comes. And so I've been reading my word a lot. Just if you all could pray that the Lord blesses me with more faith.
Okay, yeah, we can. But Lord, you hear her request. You said, whatever you shall ask, I'll give it to you. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just ask and we pray that you instill in her your faith, because your faith is the greatest faith. And we thank you for that, Father. Lord, when she walks in there, she said, ain't nothing in this house going to bother me in Jesus' name, because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I am saturated in the blood of Jesus, and ain't nothing can get by that. And I praise you, Father, for doing that for Geneva in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Judy.
Amen. Amen. And Lord, I'll just add on to that. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Geneva, and I thank you, Lord, for her coming forth and sharing these things, because we all struggle with our faith at times, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. Lord, you want us all to walk boldly in your name and believe what your word says because you said it. And I pray in agreement with Michael and everybody else that that faith is there because you, it's a gift, and you say, ask and you shall receive. And I also pray, Lord, that you will sharpen Geneva's discernment against every thought, every lie, every vain imagination, every fear, anxiety, worry, anything that tries to come on her contrary to what you say, that she'll be able to recognize it and cast it down. And when that's done, Lord, then, you know, we can go boldly and we don't have to fear anything because you're with us and you are in us and your promises are yes and they are amen. And you will never fail us and you'll never leave us. And I thank you, Lord, for surrounding her and Morgan when wherever they are, Lord, whether around people who are believers or not, we're your witnesses. And if you've got something for them to say to these people in any way, Lord, that you'll give them complete peace and full assurance about it, and that you'll confirm it to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I just wanted to say, Geneva, remember to use faith through imagination. Use your imagination. You have the blood of Jesus. You have the life of Jesus. You have the law of the spirit of life in you. You know, just speak God's word over yourself, his promises, and use your imagination. Just imagine, you know, like your brother so well repeated of what David, he said a little bit in the Sunday's Bible study, I believe, Jesus wasn't sick, was he? You look in the mirror, Jesus isn't sick. He wasn't under the curse. You know, he didn't have sin. And you just remind yourself of that, you know, and you speak it and you act on it, because faith without works is dead. And so, but the more you imagine that, you know, the more you're going to have the works. You're going to have the words and you're going to have the works. Lord, I just ask you to remind Geneva and Morgan both of this, Lord, faith through imagination, and just look in the mirror. And, you know, believe that that they're seeing Jesus in the mirror, who was never sick, Lord. You were never sick. You weren't under the curse, and you never sinned. And Lord, all of Geneva's sins were washed away by your blood, and you bore the curse. And we just praise you and thank you for doing that for Geneva. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Yes, Paula, go ahead.
Missy, that's exactly what I wanted to say to Geneva, because the Lord has been having me do that these last couple of weeks, really renewing my imagination and having me, when I pray for people, to really visualize what I'm praying for. And yeah, the results are actually amazing. And, you know, when you go into a situation like that, I always try to think of brother, what's his name that was here? Yeah, the one with, why can't I remember his name? That claim.
Name it is?
No, he yet has to come to South Africa, hey? But, oh, come on.
Jonathan?
The one.
John G. Lake.
John G. Lake, there we go.
Oh, John G. Lake, yeah.
Yes, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that just repelled all of those sickness, you know, and it was him and one little boy, and they went out and they could, you know, just heal these people, and, you know, without it coming to them. So I think of that, and I think of, you know, Peter, where even his shadow, you know, heal people, to just have that imagination as well when you're walking, when you're interacting with people, just to visualize that. And, yeah, you know, so it's just a confirmation of what Missy said.
Amen. Yeah. Nothing. What did I say down under? They say, no worries, mate. Amen. You'll be okay, Geneva. All right, who's next? I want to pray. Angelica sent me a text. She wants us to pray for her son Isaiah, that there would be no coming against her on anything. Lord, we just ask that you place into Isaiah a closeness to her that he wouldn't want to break with anybody. And Lord, I thank you for that, that your love in him for his mama would override any kind of factious attempt to divide him from his mama. In the name of Jesus, we come against witchcraft. We come against faction. We come against any kind of divisive effort of the enemy to tear him away from his mama while they're down there in Texas. In Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for putting a love in his heart for his mama, such that faction would have no play in it. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. For Isaiah, go ahead, Claire.
I'd like to pray for Angelica.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord, for Angelica and for her selfless sacrifice of raising that boy, Isaiah. Father, I pray that when Angelica looks at her boy, she sees Christ in him. I pray that she will see only the good and that he will manifest what she sees and that her faith will make him whole. Father, I pray that you would give her the fortitude to, when she has done everything, Lord, to stand in faith and to know this has been won, because the righteous are not put to shame and we only have our righteousness in Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for the patience and the beautiful gifts of the Spirit that you pour out on us, Lord. I pray that for Angelica, I pray for a spirit of peace, and I pray that she will see that hour by hour and day by day, Isaiah will be changed into Christ's likeness, just as we all are being changed into his likeness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hook my faith up with Claire, and I believe it is so for Angelica and Isaiah. In Jesus' name, praise you, Father, for the victory in that family. In Jesus' name, amen. She's down in Texas right now at the funeral of her grandmother, so hopefully she'll be back here Friday, I think. But we'll see. Amen. All right, anyone else? But yeah. Yes, sir.
Hi. I would like to ask for prayer for a young couple that we've met here in town, made good friends with them. They asked recently that they would like to have fellowship with us. And instead of going to the local church here, it's a specific denomination here. And we started on Wednesday evenings to come together to read the Bible. And yes, I would just like to ask for prayer for that, for a lot of wisdom for us. They're still very young in the Lord as well. And just for the Lord's guidance, and that this be a good start for all of us here. And I know there's also going to be more people joining at some stage. And also for that, very soon we will be having them here on this group as well. And for a good open door there. So, yeah, that's just my prayer request.
Okay. Praise God. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, is when different Christians come together in unity. Mm. That's in the unity of the faith. Praise God. Lord, we just ask that for Dirk and Paula and this couple, that they would all agree that there's not going to be any faction. There might be a little bit of disagreement in certain things until we all grow into the mature man and woman of God. But we can all come together in your grace and your love, Lord. And we thank you that that's exactly what's going to happen with Dirk and Paula and this other couple and all the other people, hundreds and thousands of people that's going to come together in that part of the world in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that they're going to see the love of Christ in Dirk and Paula and the rest of the people that come and meet and learn about the truth of the gospel. And we praise you, Father, for lots and lots of grace and patience for Dirk and Paula. And we praise you, Lord, for wisdom, your wisdom in Dirk and Paula as well, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that they're going to pray every night before it happened that you, Lord, would guide and direct their every thought, their every word. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we're looking for great and bold testimonies from the people that come to Dirk and Paula's Bible study or Bible reading or whatever. It's going to be of you, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, does anybody else want to pray? Oh, my. Y'all got some things are coming. Praise God. Yes, Claire, go ahead.
I'd just like to pray for them. Father, I pray for Dirk and Paula to their unity and their yoke to be equal, Lord, in this. I pray that you would build a hedge of protection with your angels over Dirk and Paula so that in the preparations for these fellowship meetings and in the days, minutes, hours, seconds leading up to it, that there is no rebellious, factious spirits, people-pleasing spirits, doubtful spirits that creep in to their hearts and cause faction between Dirk and Paula at this point. I rebuke all of that in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, for a gentle, gentle disposition for Dirk and Paula. I pray that they are kind and loving as they are, Lord, and that you would just bless them with mercy and grace, and that you would give them compassion on this young couple. And I pray, Father, for a spirit of absolute gentleness to override that meeting. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hooked my faith up with Claire, and I believe everything she said. It's going to happen with y'all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise thank you. God. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Ooh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else?
I'd like to say something, Michael.
Yes, Debbie.
I was thinking of the song. I don't know how many knows this old, old song. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around will warm up and it's flowing. And I just could envision that with Dirk and Paula. And just that the light that is going to be there, it's going to, it's all they need. You know, the light that they have right there and the light that is those that are coming. It just takes a spark to get a fire going. You guys can take that and send them the others forth after they, the others with their friends forth after they meet with them and, you know, share with others. And it's just going to go. God's going to do it. So I just could kind of see that with that song. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right. Anyone else? You remember last week that we talked about that the Lord was drawing a line in the sand. Does anybody remember that? The Lord is drawing a line in the sand. It's time to make a decision whether you're going to go with your flesh in the world or you're going to go with the Lord. Other way. So, if you want to be in the bride, give it up. That's what he's telling us. And he's doing the same thing here. Give it up. It's not worth it to miss out on this being the bride. And don't put yourself into condemnation. That's a lot of times that happens. Just keep on doing what you've been doing if it's been going forward, you know. That's all we need to do is keep going forward and believe in God's doing it in us. I can tell there's a change in everybody here since the first day you came. But if you're dealing with something that you've been dealing with for years and years and years, give it to the Lord. Let him take it out of there. And then walk away from it. But do like Missy was talking about. Get the imagination going. I cast you down, you evil spirit. And out of my life, I don't have to put up with it. I surrendered myself to the Lord, bless God. And ain't nothing going to come between me and him. I don't care what it is. I want the Lord, you know, you tell yourself, I want the Lord more than I want anything else, more than I want a critical spirit, more than I want a judgmental spirit, more than I want my flesh, more than I want video game, whatever it is, it makes no difference. Give it up, because it ain't worth missing what the bride offers in the days ahead. Okay, I'm off the soapbox. Yes, even more than you want to be, right? That's pride. Go ahead, Judy.
Can I get on the soapbox for a second?
Yes, ma'am. You go right ahead.
It's a little soapbox. Something that the Lord's been teaching me to help me overcome, like the lies of Satan, mostly. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself who bore our sin in his body on the tree, that we would die to sin, that we might die to sin and live unto righteousness. That part of it, and being able to picture, use your imagination, you know, that the most evil, if you can think of the most horrendous thing you ever did to anybody, where you know you hurt them, or you know, whatever it is that the enemy tries to attack you with, of your past, is to see that Jesus took that sin in himself and freed me from it. And if he did that for me, then I have to forgive everybody. And I can't think of myself better than anybody, because I'm nothing. And I know what I did and I know what I was. If he did that for me, I have to release everybody for everything they ever did to me, which, you know, you can think, you know, you can look at your own life and how many things people have said to you or done to you that really hurt you. And that Jesus bore that sin too. He is the Lamb of God who bore the sins of the whole world, even the very worst people, if they believe it. It's all about those who believe. And if you can see everything that anyone did to you on Jesus as well, if you can just visualize Jesus bearing their sin too. And it's like, it helped me to see that. And I couldn't help any of us. We couldn't help what we were born into, what we inherited. We couldn't help what we inherited through the blood of our parents. We can't help what things happened to us in our life. And before we got saved, you know, that's just, it's the blood just pays for all of that. And anything, just the reiterating what David has shared about, you know, condemnation has absolutely no place in your life or in your thoughts. or your feelings unless you're in willful sin. But even then, you can get rid of that sin too by confessing it and repenting of it. So his love and his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness is for everybody who will believe it. And I just pray that everyone's able to truly release everybody for everything that they ever went through, no matter how horrendous it was, and that God's grace and his healing, the healing of his love for us, his blood, is big enough and powerful enough to heal the deepest hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen, Julie. That was good. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Hey, Debbie. I'm trying to get. Do you want to share what you put on the blog the other day?
You read so well, Michael.
Oh, my. Boy, you do. Oh,
for you do. Sake.
All right, let me look, see if I can find mind. I get so many emails.
I know, I don't know where it is either.
I think it's here. No. I'm sorry I didn't have this up, but I'll find it here shortly. Maybe.
Well, I do have, if you'd rather me go ahead and read it.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, I heard the Lord say, where is this erring coming from? If you do not know, it is because you do not acknowledge erring. You were doing well, but the feet of some of you are slipping from the rock. They are not holding fast to the foundation. Am I your rock? Am I your only foundation? I see what your eyes are seeing. I hear what your ears are hearing. And I see the thoughts and the intents of your heart. My people, fear me. These things, not of faith, are weakening the hope of your faith. They are weakening your full trust in me. Do you think this cannot be? It is happening. It is happening to many here, and it is happening to my people everywhere. My lambs are wandering. Do you not see the hindrance this is to you and your fellowship with me? It is time for a decision to be made, for I do have plans for you. But I see choices in your life being made over choosing me. As innocent and trivial as they may seem to you, they are not innocent and they are not trivial because they are chosen over me. Today, I call you my lambs. Turn back before you wander too far. You do not see what I see lying in wait for you. So turn back and get your feet planted solid again upon your rock. Who receives you. Let me fulfill all my plans that concern you for good. The choice is yours to receive the utmost of joy or the utmost of heaviness. I speak to you tenderly, yet I speak with a grieving heart. But I also speak from the joy that is set before me in what I have accomplished for you to partake of. If you respond to me and in faith set your eyes on things that are above and set your feet firmly on your rock, I will not strive forever. And there's some extra thoughts that I have here. So that I will not strive forever. I knew that is in the Bible. So I did a search. And the first reference that came up was Genesis 6:3. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not strive with man forever because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his day shall be numbered. Our Father has already been saying through the Bible studies and teachings, it is time to respond because our days to get sanctified and holy are numbered and short. We must fear God. If we don't, there is a point that he will stop saying, turn back, but he will say no more. And that's what he will do to some. He won't ask them again. And I thought of what Paul asked the Galatians, Galatians 3:1. This was what came to my mind. I looked it up. Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth, crucified? And I was thinking how that's us, you know, whoever the enemy is tempting to wander from the Lord and take the Lord lightly and his ways lightly and choose the world and the flesh over him. But yet our eyes, we know that before our eyes, Jesus Christ is openly set forth crucified. And that's just, it really grieves God's heart. It is our greatest enemy that is bewitching God's people and bewitching some of us. It is our own flesh. So, and I've made a prayer. Father, I pray that we receive your grace to come to pure repentance and to a total and right fear of you, O God, and that we turn from our erring ways of the flesh and get off the wayward path and set out our feet firmly on the rock quickly before it is too late. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Word and you are our saving solid rock. Amen.
Amen.
It really spoke to me. It really did speak to me much. And I took a lot of things before the Lord. It's the seriousness of our walk with God. I mean, I see my family members that are Christians, but I know that they have to have the ears to hear what God is saying. But, you know, they just think that being a Christian and going to church and reading your Bible and saying the right things to your children and, you know, going to your youth groups and things are okay. But then in between all that, there's all this worldliness and stuff on TV that shouldn't be watched, set before their eyes. And I mean, hours and hours. And I'm not trying to lessen anything in my life, but it's grieving when I see that. And I just, I really pray for God's people that really they don't know because they're not being taught. They're not hearing the importance of a crucified life. So what I really want is that crucified life. So I know you all do too. Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah. We all have to endure that and pray for our loved ones, and we do. We all pray for each one of them for household salvation. Me and somebody were talking about that the other day, yesterday, I think it was, that it doesn't make any difference how they come in or when they come in, as long as they come in. And we have to understand our faith for them is what's going to save them. It's not going to be somebody else, because God's depending on us to speak and to believe for them to come in. So praise God. It's going to happen. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else want to comment on what Debbie talked about there? What the word was from the Lord? Yes, Claire.
Rhiannon and I were just really convicted by it. And I think when we could all be very self-righteous here on this group and say, oh, but we don't watch mainstream media and we don't listen to the radio. And, you know, that's not it. It's that personal conviction of where you are in your walk and how narrow that path is becoming. Like, I live a very small life, but even in the smallness of my life, God is showing me, cut it off. Just cut it off, whatever it is. because it's not worth sacrificing your place in the bride for that thing, whatever it is. And that thing is my flesh, mostly. And it's hard to watch how the flesh tries to win and it tries to circumnavigate these laws. It's quite sad, really, that it just won't die. But by faith, it will die. It has died. It is, praise God.
Amen. Yeah, Dave, I'm going to try to get it now. Somebody else wants to speak about what Claire's talking about. Claire, you're right on, girl. That's exactly what he wants, is us to surrender to him completely. Somebody else talk while I get this going, get outlook going. Well, thank you, Isaac. Go ahead.
I don't know how you do that.
Well, smooth, brother.
I guess it's meant to happen. So, yeah. Well, I've been feeling pretty condemned lately, and I'd like to elaborate. It's about as good a time as any. You know, and it's like Claire and Julie and Deb and everybody's a fan. And bear with me. You know, hope I don't sound self-righteous here, but, you know, I feel since I've been part of this here, a lot of things has dropped away from the flesh in my life. You know, I'm not, man, given up. I'm glad to give it up, but, you know, news, television, everything. It's just not an issue that I've been having, you know, it's God's really been a thing in my life that I couldn't do myself. But man, I've been feeling condemned the last few weeks, and I've brought this up before about playing guitar, and I don't know if it's me or if it is this narrow path. And I really mean this. I don't play a whole lot. I make sure to read my Bible more than I play, you know. But yet at the same time, I almost, hear me out, guys, and please let me know, because y'all may know. I don't know if I'm trying to be justified by works. You know, I try to hit my Bible up this long and this, but I feel like I have to do it for this long to be okay. And I feel like I'm at a point where, okay, you're either going to believe it or not. So I've been struggling with that. And I'll play the guitar, you know, a little bit, and then, but I don't know if I'm condemned. I don't know if it's conviction. I do believe on my heart that the road is narrowing. And man, I just feel it with everything that's in me that I mean, we're coming to it's decision-making time. And I know this much. I know God's, He's with me, and I just for some reason believe that he's going to get me through this. But if anybody knows or could help me, I'd really appreciate it. I'm having a hard time trying to even explain it. All questions are welcome, by the way.
I have a question for you, Isaac. When you're playing the guitar, are you playing, like, you know, worship songs or, you know, stuff unto the Lord? Are you, you know, are you playing it because you want to, you know, pray, you know, sing worship to the Lord? Or is it just, you know, downtime and you just feel like you need to, you know, and it's whatever, you know, you do with your guitar, whatever you're playing. I don't know how great a guitarist you are, or if you're just practicing to, or, you know, if it's unto the Lord, and if it's something you gives you peace and gives you joy and it's unto the Lord, you know, I kind of hear legalism coming from you about, well, I got to spend this much time in the Word first, and then I can go do something else that I like to do too. You know, I do hear condemnation coming from the enemy about that under legalism. that, you know, between what you're doing with the guitar is between you and the Lord. If it's unto the Lord, I, you know, it's kind of like, you know, making time aside. I don't play any instruments, but I love playing music and singing to the Lord. Oh, but I should probably get in the Bible first. You know, that's how I'm seeing it myself. And maybe that'll help you. I don't know.
No, I appreciate it. To answer the question, I don't play really anybody else's music because I know kind of how, where that goes. I have learned things in the past, but I kind of make up my own stuff and play blues. I just play blues, and I'm not really playing to the Lord. I'm not like making songs for him. I'm just playing and kind of enjoying my time playing. You know what I mean? That's really it. It may be more vain, you know, but I'm also afraid to be like, okay, I'm going to play, you know, I'm afraid to try to sugarcoat at the same time, but the whole legalism thing you're saying, yeah, Julie, you might be, you're probably right.
Okay. I think I got it all up there. All right, go ahead. Somebody had their hand up. I think it was Claire. Go ahead.
Up and down. Lucky that's just the hand. I'd like to pray for you, Isaac, because I think we often get caught up in this stuff. I know, like, I've just bought a guitar for my kids, but that's because I want them to learn guitar. Because I want them to sing to the Lord one day, you know, that's why I bought it. Not so that they can have some perfect score to get into a musical program down the line. Like, I really just want them to be able to sing to God and sing to their children and have fellowship with their children with an instrument. That was the extent of my thought pattern. But I would like to pray for you, Lord. You know, Isaac's heart, and you know, he is a blessing to the fellowship, and you have given him wonderful gifts, just like you've given all of us on this fellowship, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would use this talent that Isaac has to glorify you, Lord, and that he doesn't see it as a separate activity, but Father, that he would see it as another opportunity to praise you. And Father, I rebuke the melancholy, depressive spirits of any music genre that he might be leaning towards. I rebuke those spirits in the name of Jesus. And instead, I pray that Isaac will be joyful and light and filled with love. And that when he strums on that guitar, his wife and children sing praises to you, Lord, and that their house becomes a beautiful place of praise, Lord, or wherever they are living in transit between jobs and things like that. So, Father, I pray for your grace over my brother. I pray that you would give him a lightness, that you would remove any condemnation from his heart, that you would give him a spirit of discernment, Lord, and that with that discernment would come a displeasure for anything that is unrighteousness or unrighteous in your sight, Lord. And I pray that you would bless him with this wonderful gift of being musical for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe with Claire too. I want to pray for you, Claire, and your children. I remember David talking about praying for his children to be able to play the guitar or the piano. I believe it was piano. And his oldest, let's see, it was Jennifer and Justin, I believe, that picked it up. And could just play that thing. So I'm going to pray for all of your children. You want them all to learn a musical instrument?
I would like all my children to be as musical as possible for the Lord.
Well, that's a great way to do it. Lord, we just lift up every one of her children that are there now, and it might come later. In Jesus' name, that each one of them would pick up an instrument and be readily available to utilize it in the way that you want them to, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for giving that gift to each one of them to learn a different instrument, and then they can learn the instruments that their sibling learned as well, that they would be a walking, talking orchestra in Jesus' name. Not only would they be able to play the instruments, but they would also be able to vocalize with a pretty voice in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, because they're going to be a blessing to a lot of folks in Jesus' name. Amen. Even Rayon can do a little bass there, you know, tum, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. Rayon, I see your hand is up. Go ahead, brother. Yeah.
Slap on the bass. I'll just quickly chat here. Isaac, I understand exactly what you're saying, because a while ago I was spending a lot of time learning to play piano, and obviously I can't sit down like Don Moon and just bash out worship songs and sing my heart out to the Lord, you know, playing the piano. So it took a lot of time, and I was conscious of it, you know, becoming an idol or spending way too much time on it. And eventually when I got to a certain point, it started getting into like, I don't know, classical music or something like that. And I just felt like the Lord just said, okay, that's enough. You don't need to go any further. And I was like, okay. And I didn't stop playing. I just stopped, you know, going on the lessons and the courses and everything. And Claire would know I'd spend some, you know, she would go to bed and I would spend time on the piano and practicing there. So I didn't take any time away from family or anything. And then I asked the Lord, I really enjoy playing it and I would like to spend time on it and I want to make music to the Lord, but I don't want it to become something that's an idol or where I use it to escape, you know, because that's something that often happens, escapism, you know, instead of, oh, now you're not playing computer games anymore, now you're going to go sit on your piano or whatever, you know, and just give it to him. I just gave it to him. I said, okay, there's no sin in playing piano or playing guitar. I don't think there's even a rule that you necessarily always have to play only Christian music. Often it's just melodies, you know, and he just takes care of it. It's kind of like that desire just goes away. And I think this is what we're talking about today, is that we just got to correct ourselves again and say, oh no, let's have the fear of the Lord on us and ask him to show us where there might be things that's becoming too fleshly. And if he's putting this on your heart about the guitar, I don't think it's necessarily the law comes in and then says, no, okay, that's it, you stop, you can't do any of it. No, it's we have to be circumcised of the heart, you know, not of the flesh. It's what is our heart leaning towards. It's not about how many hours we do this, how many hours we do that. And then he gives us the Holy Spirit where we can ask him to take care of it. So I just said to him, I don't know what is too much or what is too little, or, you know, when is it good or when is it bad? Just you take care of it. And then months would go by and I would look back and I go, oh, I actually played a lot less. It just happened. I am playing a lot less and I am still enjoying it. And I'm still having fun with the kids every now and again, but I'm spending more time with the Lord. I think it's the enemy wants to put the condemnation on and make laws and rules and make us feel terrible about it. But if we give it to him, that's what he did for me. And I look back at a lot of stuff in my life now where I go, man, I can't. 2 years ago, I was, you know, out in the shed doing all sorts of little projects and stuff. I haven't even done that in how long? It's just gone. It's just because you got to keep on asking Lord to just reveal those things, and then we can then say to him, okay, you've revealed it to us, but now I'm going to give it to you. Why don't you sort it out for me and take care of it? I don't want it. I don't want any of it if it's not from you. And then that's how the wheat gets separated from the chaff. It's just he's the one who does it if we are willing vessels for him to work in us and form us in that way. So I understand exactly what you're going through, and the Lord's good. He'll sort it out. He sees your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, back to work. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Rhea. That was great. I want somebody to think banjo. We need a good banjo player. Somebody learn how to play the banjo. All right. Yes, Geneva, go ahead.
I was going to say to Claire about her kids playing instruments. I remember when Isaac and Mariana, this is when I was living with them. They had left to go to New York and Isaac had his acoustic out. So I was in the living room one day and I picked up his acoustic and I only knew two strings. And so I was going back and forth. And I remember I was like, man, these strings are sounding really good. I was really proud of myself. And so I made a song about the Lord. And I remember I loved it so much. I think I sang it like 50 times that night. So then I was like, you know what? I'm going to present this at school. So I went to school and it was a Fellowship of Christian Athletes group. I asked the president if I could play it. And he was like, yeah, sure. I only knew two strings. And so I'm sitting there going back and forth. And I'm like, you know, this is kind of redundant, but that's okay. Anyways, I know the Lord knew my heart was pure. And I don't know. I remember it's funny how God can give you a boldness like no other. but anyways, when I got done, I missed a few notes and my voice kind of, there were some pitchy parts, but anyways, I got done. I was like, well, that was it. And I feel like I obeyed the Lord because I feel like the Lord had put it on my heart to do it. And I had two or three students come up to me and tell me how much that had blessed them. And here I was thinking, you know, okay, maybe it sounded goofy, but anyway, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, it's crazy. The Lord can do anything. So I definitely believe that for your children.
Amen. Amen. Funny story. Years ago, I had my little granddaughter, Tiffany, who's Hayes' mama now. I took her to church with me one Sunday. And she wanted to get up and sing before the whole crowd. That's the way she was. She was bold, boy. She'd get up. And Larry, the pastor, was a good friend of mine. And he said, yeah, Tiffany, come on. And so she got up there. You know what she sang? It's my party and I cry if I want. I said, no. Oh, man. And Larry was laughing and I was laughing. Everybody in there was laughing. She couldn't figure out why everybody was laughing at her, but she just kept on doing it, boy. She said, oh, my. But anyway, that's my story. Oh, my.
Michael, does Tiffany remember that?
You know, this is the first time I've thought about it in years, but I'm sure she does. I didn't want to make her think that she wasn't supposed to sing, so I didn't say much to her about it afterwards, but it was so funny in front of a bunch of Pentecostals. That was awesome. Oh, well, anyone else? One other funny story. When I got older up into high school, I asked my mother, I said, Mother, why didn't you let me give me lessons to play the piano? Because I love piano. And she said, Michael, I went through Marvin Jr. and I went through David, teaching him how to play the piano, keeping them doing the practices and things. She said, I wasn't about to get you into that, involved in that. She said, you just wouldn't have sat still long enough to do it. I said, okay, Mama, I understand. But anyway, praise the Lord. I hope everybody in here plays an instrument. I do. I did learn how to play the piano after, you know, growing up on that. Little bit, not much. Go ahead and miss it.
Well, I kind of, in a sense, have a different, and he's looked at my instrument is singing. That's my instrument. I've never really felt, you know, led to learn an instrument. I always just love singing so much. So.
Amen. Praise God. Just saying. Anyone else? On the subject we're talking about is unity in faith. Did anybody read that that thing that I sent everyone? I think it's called Division in the Church, and I pray that they all may be one. Paula transcribed that, and she did a wonderful job. And I'm glad she did. Everybody read that? What's going on down there in that chat? All right. You know what was interesting about it is when we talked about this a little bit last week, about talking to people that are in the faith, but not necessarily where you are, and how to do that. So, and that's what we'd like to talk about tonight. What are y'all's opinions on division in the church? And I pray that they all may be one. And I know y'all read it. I know y'all studied it and listened to it.
I don't think I got one. Got that, Michael. I don't see it in my email, right?
Yeah, I sent it last week.
Oh, last week?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't know if I have it. I thought you were talking about something new.
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay.
I figured it was some, what? I don't know what that is, so I'm just going to keep quiet. All right. Do y'all want to talk about that, or did you want to talk about something else? What is that? Yes, Missy.
Can I give a testimony?
Well, sure.
Because I don't think that was necessarily brought up. But anyway.
What was not brought up?
Like, asked if anybody has a testimony, unless I totally missed it. But anyway.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
As a lot of you probably know, I've been, what's the word? Believing I'm healed from these headaches that I get, knots in my back and, you know, tension, you know, anxiety, stress, whatever. And lots of times when I drive for long periods, especially going down to Tennessee, I really get knotted up in my back and my shoulders and stuff. And lots of times the next morning when I get up, I'll have a headache because of it. On my way down to Tennessee this past time, I didn't get like all knotted up. It tried to come on me, but I just kept rebuking it and speaking, you know, God's word and his promises and stuff. And one day while I was down there, I was fine when I got up in the morning and all, and then later, you know, I had to talk to somebody about something. I had a lot of anxiety about it. And even though I prayed to the Lord about it and everything, and I got a headache and I realized the next day as I was taking a walk that the Lord showed me that it was anxiety, you know, talking to this person. And so I had to repent for that. And I was just rebuking that spirit of anxiety. And I'm like, you know, Lord, help me, you know, when I pray and ask you something, you know, that I just rest then and not be anxious about it, you know. And I was just commanding that spirit to go. Well, right in the middle of commanding anxiety to go, and on doing warfare against it, this crazy bee, all of a sudden I felt something on my arm, and it was a bee, and I don't know if it was two, if it was the same one, but I realized that it nabbed me at two spots. But when I looked, it was on my arm, and I couldn't get the darn thing off. I kept brushing it off, and I was, it was like, you get off, you know, and it just hit me, you know, that was an attack of the enemy to distract me from doing warfare and against that spirit, you know, and and I'm like, you know, I was just like, yeah, you know, you're defeated and I'm delivered from you and so on and so forth. And I said, and that's the last bite you're going to get out of me. But anyway, so then, so on the way home, on Sunday, I didn't, you know, I felt a little tense and all, you know, tension, you know, from driving and stuff. And I realized that, that spirit of anxiety tries to hide by trying to tell me that when I do things or I get tense like that from driving in certain positions, or if I do something that I'm normally not used to, or if I use my arms a lot or whatever, and I get tight up, you know, and I realized it was trying to tell me, it was a way of attacking and trying to hide that it was really, you know, anxiety. So, but anyway, so I didn't really get tensed up or anything, you know, a little bit, but I, you know, and my muscles and my back from driving home, and I just kept clean and I'm delivered from it. And I got up the next morning and I didn't even have a headache then. And that was like two miracles, you know, the fact that I didn't get one on the way down from the next morning, and that hasn't. So I'm like, praise the Lord. So I just want to confess, you know, that I'm healed and I'm delivered, and that I'm like, I'm delivered and healed from those attacks, and I'm delivered from anxiety. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And,
amen.
And I ask the Lord, help me to be so sensitive to when I start to get anxious, to just cast it down, you know, and not let the enemy sneak up on me. And so not letting do that to me. Not let the enemy do that to me anymore. So thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Dave Nelson, did you have a good time?
Oh, vacations for me are both relaxing and stressful at the same time, because I do all the driving, and you know, it's then get everybody there in some new place, and then my son and my sister-in-law always want to do hiking, which is good because we get out and see things we don't normally see, but it's like, you know, very rigorous. So it's like, you know, kind of wears me out. So when they leave, it's like this big vacuum happens, and it's like, oh, now what do? Kind of hang out and figure things out, you know. So it's, you know, and then prior to the week before that, I did take the week off for that because I had to take a shed down. And that beat me up. That just beat me up. Then my wife's car was giving me trouble too, and that was beating me up. And I was like, oh, just, you know, so, you know, whenever I have time off, it seems like I don't know if I have more work when I'm off or when I'm at work sometimes. You know, it's just, it's one of those things. You just, you know, you're, even though you're on vacation, it seems like you're just active doing things. So, yeah, I guess it was good. I mean, I had a lot of neat things to see, but it's like, it kind of gets me out of my element from UVM. It did, definitely took me out of that, you know. And then, of course, I had the teachings. I had kind of crash course on them this weekend. It's like, oh, my gosh. What was I dealing with my flesh, you know? And it was like, these things are really convicting listening to this. It's like, oh my gosh, you know. I shouldn't have took a vacation. I would have been prepared for that. But yeah, it was okay. That's kind of a quick summary, I guess. So then going back to work, of course, they called me up wanting to come back early as much as I could because they're short. And that was like, getting back early in the morning, you know, I was like, oh, felt like a zombie. Got up at 3:30. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, that was one of those things, getting back into the schedule again, you know, get up early so I can read the scriptures and all that stuff. So anyways, that's it.
Amen.
Yeah, it was good. Thank you. I'm sorry I was gone. You know, glad everybody did autopilot and took care of things on Saturday and stuff.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
I missed you guys too. The teachings were kind of rough. I think everybody's kind of getting rough, beat up on that, the flesh stuff, you know. It's like, oh gosh. But
yeah, it's time. Necessary. God's getting written, you know, God's putting us in a corner.
Well, you know, it's like the Lord was all that stuff with me and too. And I was like, I was wondering where this was coming from. And I go, oh, okay, this is where it's coming from. It's a teaching too. So, okay. Anyways, yep.
Yeah, it's like we said, there's a line in the sand. Which side you going to be on? I'm going to be on God's side. That's the winning side. Glory to God. That's the winning side. Ain't nothing can tear me away except myself. All right. Anyone else? Got something they'd like to share? The question asked. Yes, Claire. You're on a roll tonight, girl.
I think when I read the teaching and then I listened to it with Rihanna and then I read it again. And the thing that stuck out was how little I know. And how little fellowship I have actually had in my life with like-minded believers. Rihanna and I were probably in the South African fellowship for about maybe 9 months. We moved, and I don't know. We didn't even move to move out of South Africa, but we just moved around, and the fellowship dissolved a little bit, and it was everyone went into wilderness, and God wanted it that way, and I see why. But I mean, up until very, very recently, we haven't had fellowship. It's been Rihanna and I and our kids. And so that's been almost easy. And now that we've maybe got one or two other human souls that are starting to agree, or not agree, but, you know, be in the same spirit, it is challenging because I kept on thinking, like, how can two walk together unless they are not agreed? Like, that's the verse that I kept on thinking about. So when topics came up that seemed very legalistic or, just, you know, people not understanding even less than what I understand, I didn't know how to react, and I didn't know how to behave, and I didn't know how to receive with meekness, you know, and be gentle. And this has really taught me that God is going to take care of all of that when we have the same unity in spirit. But that what I realized is that is the spirit of Christ. And I love what David says over and over again in his teachings, is that there are people serving another Jesus. So I think the thing that I'm still trying to work out is when to know that people are coming out of something and they're willing to learn, and they're willing to, you know, to learn together, because it's not like we're sitting here as the oracles in Tasmania, not at all. Like, we want, you know, we just would love people to walk in the freedom that we've learned to walk in. But then how to know when they're not. And David says it's so easy. Like, when they believe that it's all been done away with, when they believe that there's no miracles, when they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or even in water baptism, you know, that stuff, there's the separation. But once you get together, then you are willing to learn and to leave your dogma at the door. And I think that's very freeing for me. Not that anyone that I have interacted with that is, you know, like, I'm not, the people that we have been able to fellowship have been absolutely wonderful and sweet and lovely, but it's that reaching out, like, as David says, be very careful to find out whether you've been called to go back into a Babylonish church. Well, we've never been back into Babylonish church, but just speaking to people who profess Christianity, you know, at a public event or a public gathering or a coffee shop or whatever it is, like, that you can, he's given you the spirit of discernment for a reason, and he's also given you the gift of faith for a reason. And I love that. And I want to walk more in those operations so that I can be a vessel of honor.
Amen. Yeah, you can tell, generally speaking, you can tell when somebody has a competitive spirit or a divisive spirit by the way they act and the way they talk, generally speaking. And you don't want to, like you said, Clay, you don't want to have that in your house. But you will find people that are willing to learn, just like we were when we were in those types of churches, you know. And David talks about that in his teaching. That will come up, and just, hey, look, let's let the Bible be our teacher. And if we can believe that the Bible is the Word of God, then we shouldn't have any problems here, because the Word of God is what's going to lead us. And if we allow the Word of God to lead us, then we're going to be in correct alignment with what the Word of God says. And some people will go for that, and I'll be honest with you, some won't. They'd rather have their religion than they had rather have the truth. But we have to be discerning when that time comes and say, well, okay, praise God, go back to church. All right, Isaac. I'm sorry, I called you Isaiah.
That's a good name also. Speaking of unity, y'all were talking about this around Ephesians chapter 4. Is that right, Michael? Is that kind of okay? So something I read here, and the Lord, I believe he showed me this. Now, it's got a lot deeper meaning too, but at verse 9, it says, now this he ascended, what is it but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And those things he filled, and you can, a lot of y'all probably know the answer, you know, I think it has to do with the, could be wrong here in this regard, but keys of death, which is like Revelation 1:18, Isaiah 22:22, Revelation 3 and 7, and Hebrews 2 and 14. So I get it, there's a real deep meaning there. But this is like something he showed me, speaking of unity. I was reading it. He ascended. What is it that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? So, you know, Jesus was all about unity and being weak to weak. I mean, he come down. He come down in the flesh. He come off the right hand of God, come down to earth. That's how much he humbled himself. Think about that. Think about that. He came down with us to walk with us, to be the lowest of low, to even be born in a manger as poor. He came down low. And that's what he showed me here is this. Now, like I say, I know there's a lot more meat here, but I was just thinking, man, if he did that, we're talking the King of Kings, the firstborn of all creation. if he did that and he descended here in earth, and I get it, it does say lower part of the earth, but he came here. We ought to be able to walk in unity. Because that is amazing. That is going low.
Yeah, but matter of fact, Isaac, I've been thinking about this, basically the same that you have in that respect. I mean, he was God's first begotten. I mean, he created the world, the whole universe, everything that you see. This man that walked on earth did all of that before he came to the earth. And he did it for one reason. Yeah, Julie. For us. Praise God forevermore. He is such an awesome, gracious, and patient God. I'm telling you. Yes. Hi, Missy. He is an awesome girl. Go ahead, Missy. Messing with you, as I always do.
What comes to my mind, if he gave his only son, how much more will he not give us all things?
Yes. Yeah. And if Jesus, who agreed to come down here and do what he already knew that he had to do once he got here, how much more should we want to follow him? Oh, my gracious. That's good stuff, Isaac. And guess what? Here's the kicker. He says we can do it because he's going to show us how to do it. He's going to give us the power to do it. Bless God. Going to be walking, talking Jesus. Go ahead, Paula.
Just to connect with what Missy said and you, Michael, about Jesus coming for us. The other day, Dirk and I, we were quite sad about our dads, you know, missing them. And we sat here and we actually both just cried, you know, just really missing our dads. And, you know, just feeling that, because a dad really is an anchor, you know, in one's life. And we just at that moment just felt, you know, we have the Lord and we have our Father, but just sometimes just to pick up a phone and talk to someone, you know, your dad, and just get their advice or their love and support. And as we were sitting here, the Lord just showed me that Jesus his heart was so full of him wanting to share his Father with me, and that I can have a Father, an eternal Father, my Heavenly Father, that he was prepared. He just showed me in a moment that if the amount that I loved my dad, you know, if I was in that position that my dad, who I really loved, turned his back on me and said he rejects me, you know, and he doesn't look at me, he can't look at me, you know. That just broke my heart to know that Jesus went through that, you know, the way he loved his Father, and that he was willing to take that on him, where the Father turns his back on him because he was carrying my sin and his Father couldn't look at him at that stage, you know. And he just showed me that that is how much he loves me and how much he wants to share his Father with me. And that, you know, it was just an amazing moment of. So ever since that day, I just thank him so much for that. And I've got a different relationship with my Heavenly Father now since that, you know, revelation. And we can just thank him and praise him forever and ever and ever.
Amen. That's awesome. Yes, that's right, Jada. Jesus was forsaken by the Father so that we wouldn't have to be. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to go through the things that he did for a reason, because he loves us. He wants us to get our eyes focused on him. When we get our eyes focused on him, and we surrender. Lord, I just lay myself on the altar. You do with it whatever you want, but I just want you. When we do that, all this other stuff goes away. It may not go away immediately, but it will go away at some point in time. You know, I figured out years ago, actually, that if I keep my eyes on the Lord, I don't care what people think of me. You know what I mean? It makes no difference what John Doe says out there about me, or best friend John, or my family. Makes no difference. Makes no difference. I'm going to follow the Lord, and I'm going to do it the best of my ability, and I'm going to follow his leading. The Lord tells us, he said, your family members will come against you if you follow me. And he meant follow him. He didn't mean just tag along, you know. He wants you to follow in his footsteps. Lord of God, I'm getting blessed by y'all tonight. Getting blessed. All right. Who else wants to speak, George? Hey, George. He's running back to his caps now. I guess he's busy right now. How about it, David? I don't see nobody else named David in here. Go ahead.
I was hiding you, brother. Behind Dave. I didn't want to be called David.
Oh, I'm sorry. I call you. You're Dave. I call you Dave.
Oh, that's fine.
Go ahead, David. Just messing with you, brother.
I think that's fine. I have listened to that before. I didn't get a chance to read through that, but I do remember listening to the unity of the church a little bit. You know, one of the things David did mention recently, and this is going to hold true. The people that are going to be in unity with us are the ones that are going to come out from the church that we know of, the apostate Christianity. Those are the ones that are going to be in unity or trying to be in unity with us at that point, because they're going to be searching for more for truth. You know, so we can't. You can't really expect to see those that don't come out of the church to be in unity or try to have unity with us. And I'm trying to find this verse that the Lord gave me here recently. It basically said that. Let's see if I can find it. It said basically that when you are going to be used from the Lord to speak for the Lord, and you make that your way and your will, so that you're not going to deviate from the word, that you're not going to, he basically told me with this passage, and I'll find it and I'll post it when I find it. That we're not supposed to run after people and try to bring them in, you know, like the apostate churches are doing. They will come to you, and then you can share. Now, if that, then I'm not saying that's what you do, but that's what he was telling me. He said, you know, it's kind of in a way, because, you know, a couple times when I was on vacation, I tried to pray for people. I prayed for one woman. She received it. I mean, the best she could for her faith. And another woman had wanted nothing to do with it. and that was fine. But she didn't outright rebuke me. She just didn't say, go ahead, pray for me. She just wouldn't go with it. And they are both Christian women. But I was going out of my way when I seen somebody that looked like they needed prayer. I thought, well, I'll just pray for them. I'll offer prayer. That was just me thinking, well, geez, while I'm here, I think I'll do something for the Lord. I'll do something with my gifts. You know, I just don't want to be totally idle, you know, on vacation. And not when the Lord told me that, but he did tell me later, basically. And I was understanding it to be, you know, with the, because I had been thinking about the apostasy in the churches, and because some of these people were Christian, but of course they were church Christians. So they hadn't come out of the system. And so you're trying to be weak to the weak. And his message was, well, you know, I'm not going to go after, I shouldn't be going after people trying to, you know, bring them into the kingdom. That was for me right then. Because when the time comes, they're going to be coming to you. And that's when you're able to communicate. Now, I'm not saying that for this group. I'm not saying that's the message for here. But that's just what he told me. And I'll find that passage. And whether it was directly for this, I don't know. But that's just kind of what I got out of that. And it was kind of like me too. I mean, humbling me, pushing me down a little bit. My spirit, like, hey, don't go out there and push yourself on people. Because I can, you know, we can all do that. I can do that easily. I don't want to, because I've done that in the past. And it's one of the things I want to avoid, is trying to use my flesh to bring about the kingdom, because that's what all these apostate Christianities are about today. You know. So anyways, that's just briefly what was on my mind a little bit. And I'll try to find that passage and post it.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. You know, David Eales, he defines a heretic. Did y'all see that in there? Defines what a heretic is. And trying to find it now. I'll find it here shortly. But it was interesting.
Page 6.
I got it. Johnny on the spot there, Greg. That's good. Okay, here's what David says a heretic is. I'm going to read the whole paragraph. It says a party spirit is like a sectarian spirit. It's somebody who wants to divide the body of Christ. They may not realize it. They may be thinking that they're speaking up for righteousness. You know, you can be a heretic and tell the truth. Because a heretic is one who wants to divide the body of Christ for his own purposes, you see. Well, we normally call heretics somebody that speaks a very evil lie, you know. But a heretic is somebody who can use the truth in order to divide. Whoa. The devil can use the truth to divide. The devil speaks a lot of truth. And the more you understand, the more truth he has to put in with the lie in order to get you to accept it. But he can speak a lot of truth. And people who use truth to hide behind in order to gather disciples after themselves, these are heretics. And that's what that word he calls there, reticos, I guess what it is. I don't know. I guess that's pretty close. Means. So that was a revelation to me when I read that or heard that the first time. What about y'all? I always thought a heretic was somebody's evil against the word of God, Lord, and it is. But he refines it to include these people also. Anybody disagree, raise your hand. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. What'd y'all think about that? Yeah, babe.
Yeah, when I first heard that, when David said that, and I'd read some of that stuff about the heretic, I thought, oh, wow, you know, I had been a heretic because I had been using truth to separate.
Yeah.
You know, so we get so focused on what's right and shining the light on the wrong. That we're trying to, you know, chase out that darkness. Well, you know, that's not what Jesus was doing. He wasn't chasing down the Pharisees and trying to correct their doctrines. They were trying to chase him down, you know, and narrow him down to things that he didn't want to agree with. And he would just tell the truth at that point, but he didn't go to them. They came to him, you know? And so that's kind of what we have to do in a way. You know, if we're running that path and we're trying to be at peace with all men, you know, those incidences and those circumstances will present themselves. And then, like, I think Michael was, I met him, I think it was you were saying that those times, just you pray to the Lord about that time, what it is you're supposed to speak and say, and don't get all worried about having to think about what you have to say and what you're supposed to share. You know, because that's the Lord presented this circumstance in your life anyways. He's in control of it. So if he put that in front of you and that's there, it's something the Lord designed. And it doesn't mean you have to be the one to figure out what to do. It's his game. You just allow him to figure out what you're supposed to do. If he doesn't give you anything to say, well, don't say anything. You don't have to. Don't worry about it. You know, it's nothing that you created. It's something he put there. And that might have just been one of the tests right there to see whether or not you're going to obey him and not speak for yourself, you know. So being around people that are very opinionated on their beliefs. The Bible specifically says we're not supposed to get in strife with men and argue about these things. And that's the reason why, is because you're going to get that same spirit. You're going to start feeling like you got to defend and justify. But, you know, it's okay if you can try to mutually discuss things and try to work things out. And if you have a disagreement, that's great. If you can walk away from each other and say, hey, I agree to disagree, and this is fine, and we're not getting upset about it. That's what he wants. That's the kind of unity he wants, you know, in the body. But he doesn't want you to sit there and get in a battle of wits over things. That's not, there's no joy in that, not especially when you're going over the Word of God, because you feel like you're being defiled when you're going through that situation. So if you feel like you're getting into a defiled place, stop. You got to walk away from it, because it's defiling you at that point. So that's how to avoid becoming a heretic, is not letting it rule your life, where you think you've got to make a point, you've got to make this correction, you have to straighten this out. You know, don't feel that way. You know, just allow the Lord to work in you. If there's something he's going to give you to say, then say it. Otherwise, don't worry about it. And if it feels like it's getting contentious, you got to walk away.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I was just thinking how close that comes to the love chapter, the first four verses there, where if you don't have that love, the discerning of love for your younger brother, or, you know, you don't know how young he could be, too. You know, he could be just coming to the Lord you might say something wrong, you know, like though that person had all that knowledge and all that faith, but he lacked the love, you know. And of course, we don't lack the love. There it says, I believe, have not love, you know. So you have a certain tendency to sometimes even condemn yourself while you read those verses and say, I must not have any love because I did this. but you know you have some love in you. So it's just the enemy that might do that to you. So, and I've noticed that there's a lot of people who study the Bible and they study the curse a lot, you know, and why would you study the fruit of the flesh and you should study the fruit of the spirit, you know, and that's what they do. You know, you go to the churches there and they say, well, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But what is this Christ that's supposed to be in you, you know? What is that love that you're supposed to have? What is that joy, you know, that peace? And even just to recite all that, you know, you weren't given a spirit of fearfulness. So I was just thinking about that, you know, like, why is it that we mess up so much? Is it because we study too much of the fruit of the flesh and not enough of the fruit of the spirit? So I was just meditating about that, and I think that's a big problem. The people don't know that they got a new life in them. They're just studying law, why would you do that? You know, if you're supposed to look like Jesus, like that's what you want to be, just like Jesus. You know, that's some of our beginnings there. When we came to the Lord, that's what they told us, and it's a good start, but it's there's just so much more to Christ than a mental assent on what you're not supposed to do, because you know that anyway, because it's put in every man. So I don't know if that's something that helps anyone, but you know, you would study what Christ is like, the spirit in him is like, and not the reverse of this. You studying the old man, or are you studying the new man? I don't know if that rings a bell or clicks to anyone. Praise God.
Amen. No, that's good. You know, talking about the heretic spirit, all you got to do is drive through town, right? Down here in the South, you drive through a town, and how many different churches are there on each and every other block? That's a divisive spirit. Well, my Baptist church is better than yours. You need to come over here because, bless God, we got this or we got that. That is a heretic mentality. But the ones that we want are the ones that were like us in those churches when we first began, because we didn't know anything, did we? I didn't. I didn't know zilch, you know, other than I finally turn my life over to the Lord, you know, and I go in there, and the first thing I hear is untruths, like God doesn't heal anymore, and I'd already been healed by God. I say, uh-oh, this ain't right. And then I have the pastor of that same church tell me that the Holy Spirit is not just is just not his ministry. I said, whoa, okay, I'll check it to you, boss man. And so I'm going to the Pentecostal church, and then the Pentecostals are narrow-minded as well. Y'all know, y'all probably went through the same cycle that I did. But we come out on the other side knowing, because we were praying to God, God, I don't want to be deceived. Please don't allow me to be deceived. That was my prayer from day one. And he just took me through church after church until finally, after 8 years of messing around, 7 years actually, he said, just get out of him. He said, I'll teach you. And then, lo and behold, this tall, skinny, white-haired man comes up and starts teaching. I get a hold of that, and it started coming together. Everything started coming together because he was dedicated his life to doing nothing but listening to God, getting words of knowledge from him about what the word of God is supposed to mean and does mean. And when you finally, and this is what's going to happen in the days ahead, y'all, these people are going to come in and you're going to give them the truth. And it's going to resonate with them. And then there's another disciple going out. Another disciple going out. It's going to be awesome. But what we have to do is keep our eyes focused on this and do it with love and grace and patience with them. I know none of y'all did like I did, just go off on rabbit trails every now and then. But we always came back to our first love, the Word of God. Came back and stayed with him. Well, I did. Anyway, praise God. Somebody else got something they want to share? David said in on page, same on the same page, it was page 6, he's quoting, John chapter 10, verse 16. And he says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock and one shepherd. Well, did it happen? You say, well, no, not yet. It hasn't, you know. Have you ever heard the verse? I believe it's in Zechariah 13:7. David says, if I'm not mistaken, he says, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. And he says, and you know, I think that that has probably a double meaning, because when the shepherd Jesus was smitten, there was a great persecution that scattered the sheep. But the truth is, they never came back together. And the reason, and the main reason they haven't come back together is because of what? The preachers. The preachers. And then he goes on, talks about Paul talking about the same thing. We're not going to have, you know, as David's preached this many times, he says there's not going to be a UBM during the wilderness. It's going to be Jesus Christ. That's all him and him only. Because UBM is just a, right now, it's just a place to go. You know, we know what it is. But during the wilderness, it's going to be Jesus. Not going to be man. Because why? Because we're Jesus, right? We're going to be a little bit of Jesus. Not a little bitty, but you know what I'm talking about. Laying the hands on the sick, watching them arms grow out, glory to God, watching them eyeballs come popping in their head that ain't there before. Delivering somebody that's just completely possessed of the devil. And then they come and they become a just like the demoniac did. Goes into town and saves everybody in the town, glory to God. Just like them two little teenage Chinese girls that went up to that demoniac in that little village that he was terrorizing the whole town. And he come out there with his machete like he was going to do something to God's children. They said, stop in the name of Jesus. Didn't yell, didn't holler, nothing. Just stop in the name of Jesus. Caught him in midair. You know, I don't know how he was. Then they went over there, cast the demons out. He accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And then now go. Then he went door to door to every house in the city, in the village, and they were all saved. because these two little teenage girls, for goodness sake. But they knew God's power. Just like over there in Indonesia, in Eurasia, those people that are walking across the water to get to those islands out there to minister to the people. Just like those two Monrovian evangelists that sold themselves to a ship to a pineapple farmer out in Hawaii so he could minister to the slaves out there. Woo, glory to God. Never heard nothing else about him, but I bet you Jesus knows what happened to him. They sitting up there on his right hand. Amen. I don't know. I can get excited about this coming time. Go ahead, Paula. I do. I get excited.
It makes me think of this verse. I'm busy with hidden manna again, and I think this is where it came out. All real good news, I can't remember because I'm busy with a couple now, but this verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Isn't that powerful? Yes. That is what the first fruits are. You know, it's Christ. So, yeah, that verse has just really blessed me, and I've been chewing on that one.
Amen. Ain't nothing like being God's child. Being part of the bride. We get to send our invitations out. We are the invitation. Praise God. Glory to God. We don't want to get distraction. Distraction. It's get distracted on whatever. You know, it makes no difference. We had some. Well, anyway, go ahead, Claire.
I heard from my dad yesterday that he needs to go see an orthopedic surgeon for his knee. Now, I don't normally give background to prayer requests, but my dad is a marathon runner. Like, the guy can do easily 60 to 80 Ks a week, and he has done this for the past 20 years. He's hardly ever had an injury. He's 63. He's my natural dad, but he's not my biological dad. He's my stepdad, but he adopted me. And he doesn't have a real relationship with God, I don't think. He's a British guy and believes in doing the right things, you know, so, and has failed miserably at doing the right things, unfortunately, like we all do. But he doesn't know that Christ has been saved, you know, that Christ has completed it all. And I've sent him Sovereign God twice. I've sent him bucket loads of stuff. And I've professed all the testimonies in my life. And I speak freely with him. I don't pretend that he has another spirit. But I'd really appreciate prayer for my dad because he's gripped by fear. And you know, fear can do stupid things. You go in for a knee and you come out, you know, the doctor tells you you've got some diabolical situation happening. And that's all just a manifestation of fear. Do you know what I mean? And I just don't want that for my dad. So I'll pray and I'll trust that you will all pray with me. And yeah. I pray that the Holy Spirit will clean up this prayer as it needs to be cleaned up. But Father God, I pray and beseech you to give my dad just a smattering of faith, Lord. You say just the faith of a mustard seed, Lord, is what we need to move mountains. And I know that he has tried in his own might to fix his knee by laying off of it for a few weeks and not running and massaging and using a bunch of remedies, Lord. And I know that none of that makes an iota of difference to you, Lord. All that matters is that we trust in Christ and we know that he has completed. He has completed every race that we need to run, and he has completed every healing at the cross. And Father, I pray for my dad to be awakened to this amazing revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord, I pray that when he sees that orthopedic surgeon next week, Monday, and they take x-rays, there is nothing wrong. And my dad can jump up and do a little dance for joy and praise your holy name, Father. That is what I pray for my dad. Father, I pray that you would put in him a yearning for the truth, Lord, that he is woken up and his day is just around you, and it just encompasses you and what your son has done for us. I pray, Father, for a revival in my dad's heart, Lord, and I rebuke any fear and infirmity spirits off my father in the name of Jesus. Lord, you gave him to me. You put him in my life for such a time as this, and I am interceding for him. I am praying for his knee, but I'm praying for his salvation, Lord. I pray that you would do this work, not because I am me, but because of Christ in me, Lord, and that all things work together for good for those who love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name,
amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Claire, and her dad is coming into the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you grant repentance to him right now in the name of Jesus. And I break the power of Satan that has clouded his mind as to who Jesus is and what he ought to do in the name of Jesus. And I declare and decree him into the kingdom right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I know that you're going to give him something that'll make him come to you in the name of Jesus. And I pray the Lord of Harvest send somebody that he would listen to that would change him forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. What's his name?
Stephen Eric Kircher.
All British people have three or four names, don't they?
Thank you.
Awesome. That's all right. Stephen Eric Clifford?
Curtis. That was my maiden name.
Oh, Curtis. Okay. That's my first name.
His first name is Stephen, then Eric Curtis.
That's what I said, three first names.
I get it now.
Okay. It's sad. All right, thank you, Lord, that you're bringing Stephen Curtis, Stephen Eric Curtis into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome guy, and we believe it. Amen. Well, look for it, because it's fixing to happen. Amen.
Believe it for all three of them.
Yes, all three of them. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, that's it. Lord, we just thank you for another great night. Been led by you, it looks like. It's been an awesome time. And I thank you, Father, for my brothers and sisters. Love on each one of them tonight, Lord. Give them a good night's sleep or a good day of work or whatever it is that you're doing. And we praise you for it, Father. Be with us. Guide us. Lead us. And set a watch before our lips to speak only the things that you would have us to, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you, and we want all of you, Lord. All that we can receive, we ask that you give it to us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Good night, y'all.